You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I want to welcome you. I'm your host, Jerome. If it's your first time here, Black on Black Crime is a point-counterpoint program, but we don't do crime on this show. But Black on Black Crime on this show is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So I want to welcome you again on this program. Movie director, David E. Talbot, versus the black community, he said something about what the community should be doing. So we're going to talk about that. John Singleton asked a question, can white directors make great black movies? I know we kind of talked about this before, so we're going to see how this is going to go. He wrote a letter. It wasn't an open letter, but he wrote an op-ed. And Jennifer Lewis gave some advice to aspiring actors. Now, if you don't know, actress and Broadway performer Jennifer Lewis spoke to some people during a premiere of Baggage Claim, the movie that's currently out. We have that, the world of news and entertainment and more, so I want to welcome you again. Just remember, if you want to join in, the chat room is now open. You can write us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. And if you missed last week's show, it was Bill Cosby called black folks no grows or something like that. Shawnee O'Neal versus a basketball wife castmate. And former Vogue editor said that he wasn't impressed with the Harriet Tubman humor that Russell Simmons had. So if you want to check that out, it's in the archives at soulofsyracuse.com, or just go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. And also, you can like us on Facebook, by the way. We have a Facebook page, BOBC Show. All right, I think I got all of those things in there. Before we start the show, we like to usually do some news and entertainment. So let's go straight to our news. Disney has banned people from skipping lines. So if you go to Disney World, they stop people from skipping lines, or disabled people from skipping lines at that, because there were too many able-bodied visitors cheating and jumping in front of lines. So if you're in Disney World, don't get mad. Unfortunately, the people who weren't disabled kind of were jumping ahead of everyone else. I miss the Hallmark Channel's Watsons Go to Birmingham last week, and I know it premiered. And if you saw it, call in, hit one on your line, join in and let me know how it was. But I am DVRing it now, so I'll let you know. This is a movie that is based on a book. Tanya Lewis Lee is producing it, and she also wrote the screenplay for it. So interested to see how it comes out. It's kind of like a black version of The Wonder Years, if you ever seen The Wonder Years. Also in news, following a recent overseas expansion into the UK, Central and Eastern Europe and Australia own the Oprah Winfrey Network, and Discover Networks International has announced that they are continuing their international expansion of OWN with a launch of an exclusive OWN programming block in South Africa. And a couple, Carol and Willie Fowler, were surprised when the lavish wedding that they paid for their, you know, high-end event was called off by their daughter, but they decided to make the occasion joyous for a whole different group of people. Now, Mrs. Fowler contacted a woman from an organization. She's the head of the Atlanta-based charity Jose Feed the Hungry, which focuses on children and the homeless, after her daughter Tamara's nuptials fell through. I'm sorry for saying the name. I meant to skip the names in this. But after the nuptials fell through, she contacted this organization. The organization director initially thought the generous offer was a prank, but she found out it wasn't. The offer to feed 200 people was still outstanding, and when she realized that it was genuine, they worked together and made it a special day for the city's less fortunate. So that is a good news story for Carol and Willie Fowler to donate 200 meals to the homeless. It was pretty nice. Now, I want to say this in a really serious way, but I didn't bring my bump music. The world's smallest pony has been kidnapped from a horse fair in Italy. Now, Charlie, who is just 24 inches tall, was snatched from a stall overnight. Police believe that it was the mafia that holds this 2-foot horse for ransom. The police said the horse thieves snapped a wire fence, surrounded the fairgrounds, and grabbed the miniature pony and made off through a nearby tobacco field where the car was waiting to speed them away. Just so you know, that is an international news story. I don't know, just picked it up. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You know, call in and join us. I want to say hey to the folks in the chat room as well as on the line. Remember to hit 1 if you want to join in the program. We're here every Monday if you want to join in and call us. And if you want to send us some topics, feel free. Just send it to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com if you want to join in on a program or you have something that you want us to discuss. Before we take a break, I want to say today there's a new Kickstarter program that kicked off called My Man's Choose Your Hustle. It's a Kickstarter campaign in support of a movie called My Man's and Them, the movie. It's directed by Eldrick Brown. Some folks out of Jersey, I want to support them. We're going to try to have them on the show in a few. So if you guys are already listening, feel free to call in, hit 1 on your line. We'll join in and talk about your goal of raising $60,000 in 30 days. They're trying to raise the money so they can shoot the opening scenes of their future film called My Mans. It's like My Mans and Them is how it's called. But it seems like it's going to be a good program. I read the synopsis, and we're going to have one of the producers on as well. So just wanted to make sure I mentioned that before we kind of took off. We'll see how that goes. And I want to say we know Spike Lee's Kickstarter was successful. He also won an award this week that was an award with, I can't remember the person's name, but I do have that down, but we're going to talk about that a little later, so I'll save that until we get into our news section about Spike Lee. Just want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Dial a number, area code 909-265-9189. We're going to take a break and come back, but on this program, you need to know our main topic today. Well, gosh, we have about 3 of them, or 4 of them today. So, David Talbot versus the black community. John Singleton, can a white director make great black movies? We might listen to a clip from Jennifer Lewis' advice for, inspiring actors. It was a great clip, so I had to bring that on. And also, before we really get started, Chris Brown made a statement against Sean Carter or Jay-Z. I think he threw him up under the bus, so we want to talk about that for Black on Black Crime to get it started. All right, so you can join in, 909-265-9189. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome to Espreenet News 90-Second News Break. Existing home sales hit a 6.5-year high in August, signaling a continued strength in the housing market recovery. Sales increased to 5.5 million units. That's the highest level since February 2007, when property values began to decline. Coca-Cola apologizes for offensive bottle cap message in vitamin water drinks sold in Canada. Coke apologized after a woman found the words, "you retard," inscribed inside a cap. Now, the words are part of a promotion that were random French and English words printed inside the cap. Retard is a French word meaning late. California is considering a law that would make it illegal to post revenge porn. The bill makes it illegal to post pictures, even with the person's consent, if they are fully or partially dressed. Now, the first offense could expect up to 6 months in jail with a $1,000 fine or both. The all-new Queen Latifah show, produced by Will and Jada Smith for Sony Pictures, got off to a strong start, ranking it as the second most popular debut in talk show since Dr. Oz debuted in 2009. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News on ACN.
Here's a birthday bash for the one, the only first lady and diva of song and dance and acting, Melva Moore. And you're invited to the Cutting Room at 44 East 32nd Street, New York, New York, to be a part of the celebration and festivities. Advance tickets are $40, $45 at the door, and a $20 food minimum is guaranteed to get you full and ready for the birthday bash of the year. Doors open at 6:30, showtime featuring the lady herself, Melva Moore, is at 8 o'clock p.m. Advance tickets available online at TicketBlock.com.
Next time on the African Americans.
Our country's complicated relationship with race begins.
Our first notation of Anthony Johnson defines him as Antonio the Negro.
So his blackness was part of his name.
Black people knew they were people, and so if you hear words about liberty and freedom, of course they would think it would apply to them.
Slavery breeds dreams of freedom in every human breast.
The African Americans, many rivers to cross.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, I have to bring her in with her intro theme music, but I want to welcome columnist and author Kai Sims back to the program. Hey, girl. She's been on hiatus for a minute.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
You know, I wasn't going to say nothing. It wasn't like you were missing out of all of our programs because, you know, we had an anniversary program, so I used some clips from some of the other shows.
I was there in spirit.
Exactly. Everyone still heard you, so, you know, you just had to make sure. You know, we had to keep you in spirit. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I won't be doing the Cabbage Patch for a minute, but I'm good.
Hey, you know, I was going to say, you know, at least it's not raining. It's usually raining in your neck of the woods when you used to.
It's actually cooled down a little. The weather is fairly decent. And I just broke up a spider web connection outside on my back porch, so I think they'll be looking for me real soon. Yeah,
I just didn't
look too happy with that one.
Well, you're crime fighting as well, so we might as well give it up to you for crime fighting.
I mean, if they ain't putting in on the mortgage, they can't hang out.
No. That's how it goes. If you ain't chipping in, you know.
There you go. Yeah, I wanted to say, you didn't put in on this man.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Now, first, I want to ask you, have you watched any of the Arsenio Hall shows?
Honestly, I can say I may have watched all of maybe 3 minutes. Haven't had the opportunity.
Okay.
It was a very quick clip.
I've watched some Arsenio. I have a clip from Arsenio with Tia and Tamara, the Maori sisters on there. And and I think, I just want to say this for the record, I think Arsenio is pretty much doing a good job. So, I'm going to play a little later in the show, but I just thought about it, and I said, wait a minute, I forgot to ask, because I know he was taking some criticism up front, but people were criticizing, saying, Arsenio don't look like he did 20 years ago. Can you believe that's the criticism?
Is that the complaint?
Yeah.
If that's his only problem, then he's doing well.
Exactly. It's like, Arsenio should, his show should be more updated to whatever, and I'm thinking, nobody asked David Letterman to do that. Nobody asked anybody who's been on the air that long to look like they did 20 years ago. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Are they saying his format or him personally or?
You know how your mannerisms don't change no matter who you are,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were saying how he need to update his style. And I'm like, that's Arsenio. Like, you can't, it's like asking Michael Jackson to sing different from one year
right.
to the next.
And not
kind
to
of
moonwalk.
Thing.
Give me a break. Oh,
exactly. Oh, that's old. You need to stop moonwalking. So that is pretty much the gist of that. So they were just wrong. But
there's no pleasing some people.
I think it's great because I watched it when Angela Bassett was on there. I saw Ice Cube when Ice Cube was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Magic Johnson. And the thing about all of these guys, every time they came on there, they were pretty different than when they were on, should I say, the mainstream shows.
Right.
You know how
right.
when you're around your folks, you kind of loosen
mm-hmm.
up a little bit?
Yeah,
Ice Cube
exactly.
looked like he was about 25 years old. You know, the way he
oh,
was
really?
Kind of laughing and stuff. Yeah,
because
he was very loose. He wasn't in director's mode and trying to put
right.
on his
right.
He wasn't trying to put on any airs. He just was kind of telling a story about his complaint in one of his songs. He was talking about how he didn't like Arsenio. Like, he was cussing
oh.
a lot in one of his songs.
Uh-huh.
But he said, I was young. He said what
right.
happened was he didn't realize how the movie business was or
mm-hmm.
how television was.
Mm-hmm.
They thought NWA should be on Arsenio's show. But when Arsenio went to Paramount, they were like, you must have lost your mind.
Yeah,
so,
that's not going to happen, Captain.
yeah. So Ice Cube tells this interesting story about him coming up to Paramount to complain, and that's when he met John Singleton, who was an intern at Arsenio.
Mm.
And when he asked,
I did not
know
that. Wow.
Yeah, Ice Cube told the story and said, you know, if I never came up here to complain, I would never
right.
have done Boys in the
right.
Hood. So I owe my career to my discontent to Arsenio.
Exactly.
So he really,
and everything happens for a reason. That was
right.
the path he was supposed to walk. That makes perfect sense. And then we wouldn't have Doughboy. Can you imagine? Wow.
oh, and I wouldn't have to get tired of looking at, what's his name? Who played the kid who got shot? Who was that?
Oh,
Morris
the beautiful chocolate board, Morris Chestnut.
okay, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Just me. I wouldn't call him that per se.
The masterpiece that is Morris Chestnut.
yeah. But I'm sure Cuba Gooding would have been around some places that helps.
Okay.
see, you can't forget Cuba Gooding.
I like Cuba Gooding, but he's no Morris Chestnut.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I'm just trying to help you out. You know,
mm-hmm,
just in recognizing
mm-hmm.
who was. Okay, now did that? I tried to bring you back. Did that work?
Yeah, but you know what I did say? Two of the things that I was going to do on my bucket list was to watch, support Arsenio and support Queen Latifah, and I did get to see her show when Will Smith was on there, but I missed Arsenio, so. I'm going to make an effort to tune in.
Okay, now both of them actually had pretty good ratings. The first show for Arsenio was very, very good. And Queen
mm-hmm.
Latifah's
oh,
show, who is produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, on their very first show was the second most popular debut since Dr. Oz
mm-hmm.
in 2009.
Oh,
so
wow.
So Queen Latifah, her show came out really strong, too. So, like I said, don't complain because they're black. Just understand that. Hey, they have a job to do, and there's no diversity
right.
on TV anyway.
Right.
So,
and if we don't, you know, we don't like what's on there, we got to make an effort to try and change it, you know?
Turn a station if you don't like Arsenio.
Right.
But I'm saying
exactly.
I watch sometimes late-night shows, and they don't really appeal
mm-hmm.
to me. But Arsenio, I actually like watching that show. So
right.
It's actually
right.
pretty cool. All right. Now,
yes.
since I kind of knocked Arsenio around a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
Russell Simmons was on Arsenio, too, the other day,
mm-hmm.
following up
oh,
about
really?
His Harriet Tubman skit.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, Russell complained. Now, this is not a part of what we was going to do on Black Crime today, but I did have it down. But Russell
mm-hmm.
was on Arsenio, and
mm-hmm.
he talked about what everybody's reaction was. And at the end, he said people tried to turn him into Paula Deen.
Oh, whatever, Russell. He should have known better.
yeah.
Anybody on that,
really,
Russell?
Russell was just a bit beyond himself. Matter of fact,
yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
he made a point,
Paula
but,
Deen, you expected from him. He should have known better.
Yeah,
he's been in the business way too long to know than to pretend that he didn't know that wasn't a good idea.
But he said, okay, so here's what I do. You know, I actually have a clip of that, of Russell, from Russell being our senior. So let me play that, and then let me know what you think about it. Because it's like 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
So we'll listen to a little bit of Russell on our senior. This is what he is.
Russell Simmons. My audience keeps up with you. I'm sure they read Global Grind. They kind of know what happened. But let's go through the Harriet Tubman ADD thing real quick. You know, it was probably the worst idea of my life. It wasn't my idea. I didn't produce it, write it, but I gave access to it. I let it play. And most people didn't see it, but complained about it.
Let's explain what it was.
Really bad taste. I've done lots of comedy and lots of bad taste, lots of music and bad taste, lots of poetry that offended people, lots of music that people really felt, you know, hurt by, but I always stood by it. But this particular piece was something that when I understood how hurt people were, I pulled it down immediately. I've never pulled down a piece of content.
Hmm.
It was this idea that this slave took advantage of the slave master and blackmailed him, and it really struck a nerve in people and hurt their feelings. So I pulled it down within a few hours of it going up, and I tried to move on. And, I mean, like certain people, I mean, and of course everyone has a right to be as outraged as they want. They were outraged, and they wouldn't let it go, I felt. And I felt that maybe it's something you don't want to let go, and that's okay. But I didn't get the calls from a lot of the – and what it is, I think I told you what it was, but I didn't get the – NAACP called me, and I pulled it down. And they called me over Def Comedy Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me.
I remember.
And there was Def Poetry Jam. People were really upset. They were picketing, and it was booed on national TV. That's a Tony, and that's and Public Enemy, and they shot my office up.
Mm-hmm.
They had snipers, and they told us if we didn't get rid of that racist band, we wouldn't be on Columbia Records or any record company. So now, flash forward, we got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We have a Tony Award, and we have, you know, lots of experiences where, you know, we let artists speak freely. This time I didn't. It's the first time in 30 years I didn't elect to support the artist, so I pulled it down. And, you know, I didn't get any calls from any civil rights leaders or any people who, they just said, you know, we accept your apology, because before they even knew about this, I had apologized.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these do-nothing Negroes, you know, they were very angry and kept talking, so it's been very tough for me.
Yeah.
They tried to turn me into Paula Deen. But, you know, I want to move past that, you know what I mean?
Okay, Kai, this will be Arsenio with Russell. Mm-hmm. He actually came out talking about do-nothing Negroes, which I think he was wrong about.
Mm-hmm.
I know we call people out on this program for black-on-black crimes, but, you know, Lavinia wrote in the chat room, "Dear Russell, shut up and boo." You can't boo from the chat room, but anyway, she did. So Russell, still, I don't think, gets it. He was just saying, since the NAACP didn't call him and all the black civil rights organizations didn't say anything, everybody else is just unfairly criticizing him. Do you feel a little sorry for Russell?
You know, I tried to play devil's advocate. So I don't like the term do nothing Negroes, but I think I understand where he's coming from when he says that. You know, he probably could have used another term, but okay, we'll go with do nothing Negroes. So I'm assuming he's talking about those people who, like you said, didn't even look at the video, didn't even, you know, engage in it, but want to sit back and complain about it. That part I get. And, you know, he's still a little angry. That part I get. Seems like his feelings are a little hurt. I do like the fact that he acknowledged that, you know, it was probably in poor judgment. And he's taken some form of responsibility. So that's cool. But Paula Deen, if he said that as a joke, okay, it's kind of maybe a little bit funny. But if he's serious about that, no. He doesn't
right.
get any sympathy for that one.
Right.
You know?
And I was going to say, since he actually had Paula Deen in there, like that was
right.
some type of joke, he
right.
is wrong for that.
Yeah.
Because he's acting like Paula Deen was right or something. Like we unjustly
right.
put criticism on Paula Deen. And
you
know why he's saying that?
Why?
Because she used the N-word and Russell don't find the problem with that. But that's not the only thing she did.
Right.
But go ahead.
But then
he
the other part of
that.
It is to downplay the fact that this is an icon that we're talking about. This isn't like, you know, Harriet from West 54th Street. This is a legend, and you're putting it even in a joking sentence about Paula Deen. This is serious. This is, you know, this is one of those things.
Right.
This is serious. You don't even play with that. Certain stuff you just don't do. So even if he had heard the term Harriet Tubman, I don't care what he was doing. The fact that he heard Harriet Tubman doing a video, he should have stopped and said, well, let me check that out first before anything.
Right.
You know, that should have been a red flag right there. Let me check it out before I approve it. You don't just not approve something with Harriet Tubman in it, you know. And
yeah, right.
And that's the thing. We're getting too passive, and our history is just getting watered down. And, you know, there are certain people, Dr. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's certain people, Rosa Parks, you just don't play with. There's nothing funny about, you know, which is, you know, and maybe I'm on my own soapbox. That's why I won't watch Boondocks. I'm not hating on Boondocks. The episode I finally watched, it was too much for me. There's nothing funny about putting Dr. King and, you know, it was offensive to me. And that's just to me. There's nothing funny about putting Dr. King in a spoof and making him say the N-word 50 times. I couldn't do it. I haven't watched it since, and I watched that one episode. And people keep telling me how funny it is. I completely support Mr. McGruger, but I can't support Mr. McGruger.
And I believe that Aaron McGruger is, you know, they just pushed the line, you know, Family Guy and all of those. Like, if you look at all of those other cartoons that cross it, South Park and all of those guys. So I get that they push it sometimes
a
way too
bit.
Much.
Yeah.
But I don't agree with people playing with civil rights stuff because we still are getting oppressed way too much.
Right.
So,
and that's still a hot topic. And I'd like to think I'm one of those people who actually has a pretty twisted sense of humor sometimes, you know. But certain things just aren't funny. And when it comes to issues that happened centuries ago and we're still fighting and dying for those same issues, no, that's not funny. You know, there's nothing to laugh about, you know. So
yeah. Now, Lavinia said in the chat room that it's bad enough that people tend to play down African-American culture because we don't know our own tribes of origin, as if African-American culture is rich enough to stand on its own, and to use Harriet Tubman in such a way is such a freaking setback.
Yeah.
I won't say that.
And she's being nice.
Right.
Yes.
Right. She just think if the culture isn't rich enough.
You know, how could you just not get that was done in poor taste? Just say, I'm sorry, you're right, it was done in poor taste, you know.
There you go.
Come on, Russell, stop making excuses.
That leads me, by the way, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. If you want to call in and join us, hit 1 on the line. I want to thank everyone for joining us and joining in. You know, I can bash Russell all day. Russell does do that. And I have a lot of respect for Russell for the things
mm-hmm,
that he's done.
Me too.
But Russell is not a leader in the black community. And I don't think he should be making decisions on what he thinks is right for black people. Like, everybody can't make those decisions if your gauge is off. And Russell's gauge is obviously off. Now, baggage claim director David E. Talbot pretty much did the same thing. So it kind of runs into why we did Russell. Now, he said that the black community is responsible for white people's perspective, is what David Talbot said. So I'll now name him post-racial David Talbot.
What does that mean? Wow.
Well, I know. He says the black community limits
black community
our impact
who's supporting him. He might want to say some of the black community.
You know, it's like he's saying, you're making white folks oversensitized that we can't have our own stuff. I don't know how he's saying it. So here's the story. Earlier this week, a screening was held in Manhattan in New York City to premiere his upcoming film, Baggage Claim, which stars Paula Patton, Derek Luke, Jennifer Lewis, and Jill Scott, amongst other prominent African-American entertainers. Now, during a question-and-answer session with the cast following a viewing of the movie, The film's director, David Talbot, made a statement in response to a question on how to increase the presence of black romantic comedies like Baggage Claim in mainstream film industry. Now, here's his response. He said, well, wait, why does it have to be a black romantic comedy is what his response was. Why can't we just say romantic comedy? It's really just a relatable romantic comedy that just happens to feature a predominantly African-American cast. So Talbert then went on to address how we as a community often put ourselves in a box by how we describe our representation in the mainstream entertainment, which inevitably contributes to the skewed perception that white America has of black Americans in the entertainment industry. David Talbot, the guy who does Mama Plays, David Talbot.
Well, here's my question. Devil's advocate again. I'm going to try and understand his perspective if his facts are true. Who's saying that we're the ones who's doing that? Isn't that Hollywood who's calling it a black comedy or a black play or a black, you know, is that really us? We already know it's black. We can see that from the commercials.
Right.
So is it us categorizing it like that, or is that Hollywood categorizing it so that, you know, based on how they make their profits? So maybe he's,
he's
the wrong group of people.
Right, because he's saying, how come it's not post-racial? David Talbot, it is not post-racial, buddy. Life is not post-racial. Get over it. It's a black romantic comedy because black people are in it. Say it again.
And I don't understand this. When you have a movie that could be productive, I mean, that could be successful, why use that platform to continuously, just like the man who made the comment about the butler, or, you know, movies like this, movies that have the potential to do very well, like the butler is, why use that platform and insult the people who support you? Why not use that platform? Even when someone comes at questions that you know are hot topic questions, there's a way to answer those questions, you know, without all of the controversy. This ain't the time to define it as, you know, all black player or all black movie or all black. It's the time to say, come and support the movie. We get it. It's black. We get it.
Right.
But when there's an all-Latino movie, we don't say, oh, that's an all-Latino movie. We get it. It's a good movie. You know what I mean? So why would he use that platform to make some comment like that against the people who support the movie?
And it was just a question. Someone just asked, what do we need to do to increase black romantic comedies? And David Talbot says, why does it have to be a black romantic comedy? Because you got nothing but black people in your movie, and it's a romantic comedy. And he's talking to a black audience, which is a whole other story, right? So for some reason, I think sometimes we get over-sensitive
about
it. Yeah,
we're so sensitive. And if you stand on your work, and I've seen some of his plays, and some of them I actually liked, but if you stand on your principles and you believe the project that you're doing, you go out and you be proud of that project. And, you know, not everybody's going to like it, but you can't be so sensitive and your skin so thin and such an ugly, you know, that's an ugly business. It just, you know, it just kind of sets us back every time somebody does that. And I hate, you know, even with the Russell Simmons comments and all that, I hate that it's us that has to be in the media back and forth with each other. But he should have known better. If I had a belt or a switch, he would get a whooping.
But right now, we'll just throw him a flag because he does need,
we'll throw him a flag. And honestly, I'm not mad at him. I'm disappointed. But it's like I said before, and this is no attack on Russell Simmons. In all the years I've been on Earth, I've not seen him with a black woman. I don't expect him to be able to relate to the fact that that's sensitive. And, you know, no hate. Just I don't expect him to be
no
able
hate,
to relate
but that
to the
is
fact
true.
That that's, yeah, that that's insensitive to portray a woman in that. Why did he let an Asian video go? Or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect him to understand how painful that would be as a woman and as a woman of color to see that kind of spoof. So I'm not even mad at him. I'm disappointed. He should have known better, but I don't have the energy to be mad at him.
Right.
It would take
much. So just to let Russell know, we don't hate on this program, but we have to call you out when you you're just drawing a flag for stepping out of bounds. And I know
we're gonna put him up against the wall, make him stand in the corner for a little while, and then whoop him.
There you go. I want to say, you know, from Lavinia, she isn't really letting you off the hook, Russell, but that whole Mr. Bill Riley and Sean Hannity is my friend, she said it doesn't fool her. So
is that what he said?
You can't, yeah. He said they're friends. So, you know, like, what is your deal when you're a friend with people who you know who definitely don't like black folks? Like, that is problematic.
And what relevance does that have? Did someone ask him a question about that?
Yeah, I think it had a little bit to do with some of the criticism that was going on when they were talking about pulling people, pulling your pants up, and the whole, what's the guy from CNN?
Which one?
Oh, gosh. The
Anderson Cooper?
I was going to say the gay one, but what's his name?
With the white hair?
The gay people. No, the black guy.
Oh, Don Lemon. Yeah.
Don Lemon, thank you. See, send your comments to bobcfo.com, and I'll delete them over there. I don't care. So see how that works? You can send them, though, if you like.
And, you know, even with Don Lemon, even if we don't agree with him, okay, I respect. I mean, I'm not saying I don't. You know how I feel about it. I'm not saying that he doesn't have the right to say that. And Russell Simmons can be friends with anyone he wants. He can be friends with the Charles Manson family. But what does that have to do with, I mean, they're jackasses, and we know they're jackasses. So basically,
exactly.
They're friends with a bunch of jackasses.
Exactly.
And you're exhibiting
exactly.
jackass behavior. So what is, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be dragging the rest of us in with you validating people.
Exactly.
Who
that doesn't
you.
Justify his bad behavior because he's friends with two jackasses.
Right. It's like, you don't bring people in your house. You know the rules, right? If you bring your friend into my house and they steal, you're responsible for them. So Russell is now responsible for those two nuts or jackasses in the way Kai would like.
Speaking of giving a whooping.
Who's that? Oh, never mind.
Get a judicial-style punishment.
You would definitely get a whooping for that.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with some more black-on-black crime, but this time we're going to dive into the John Singleton statement, can a white director make great black movies? While we're at it, we might as well knock it all out the box, Kai.
Might as well. All
right. Might as well. We'll be back after this.
You wake up in your luxury bed and slide out of your luxury sheets. You get into your luxury shower and dry off with your luxury towel. You put on your luxury suit and your luxury watch. You grab your luxury coffee from your luxury coffee maker and add some luxury sugar. You step out of your luxury house and step into your luxury car, which makes everything else seem ordinary. Introducing the Acura RLX, with Jewel-Eye LED headlights and precision all-wheel steering. It's luxury, taken to a whole new level.
You know, there are a lot of choices out there for late-night talk shows, but here's the reason you're going to watch mine.
It is off the chain.
And that's a guy dressed as a scientist. You can go now. I got this.
The Arsenio Hall Show.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 888-927-2498. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 888-927-2498. That's 888-927-2498.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step 1. Gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step 2. Keep those legs strong. And step 3. Don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Up. A short word that's a tall order. Stand up. Get up. Step up. Up demands that you rise to the challenge. Up your game. Up the ante. And if you stumble, you get back up. Then raise yourself higher than before. It's not easy, and not everyone is up to it. That is, up to up. But we are. Because we're in the business of up. Every day, Delta flies a quarter of a million people to 330 destinations worldwide, while investing billions of dollars, improving everything from booking to baggage claim. We're raising the bar on flying. You could say we're upping up. And tomorrow, we will up it yet again.
If you don't mind, would you pull that bass up a little bit, my mom?
I will.
Pull up them drums, Lord, I have. I want to hear them drums kicking. Kicking so hard, it can feel it way back in Mississippi.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm on your host, Jerome, with co-host today, columnist and author Kai Sims is on. Hey, Kai.
Hey, how are you?
You know, we're just giving, we're giving blues today, so I just didn't, I figured no upbeat music was actually going to be necessary. Because, you know, it, we had to keep it a little mellow today.
Yeah.
In our
just
first,
one of them days.
There you go. There you go. You know, in our first couple of Black on Black Crime segments, Russell already committed one, according to me and Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And David E. Talbot. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like not respecting him today, but I'm going to keep it light. I'm going to try to be nice.
He's going
to
end up in the corner, too.
He's definitely going to end up in the corner.
Yeah, we might have a group of people in the corner today.
I know. Let's bring in Lavinia, host of the Nerdy Black Chick. Well, late night. What is it? Late Talk with the Nerdy Black Chicks show?
Late Night Talk
BTR.
With the Nerdy Black Chicks.
Oh,
yes.
I love it.
Radio show, yeah.
I know.
Oh, wow, I like that.
You know, so yeah, because she's going to curse. She cursed out on her program like we cursed out on this one. So
mm-hmm.
she just don't hold back.
Mm-mm.
All right, so which one first, Lavinia? I know
no.
you're in the chat
mm-hmm.
room with
you're not,
Russell.
No, you're not bringing me in with that. You're not going to get me started on him.
Okay, well, we got to we have to act like she was nice first.
Okay.
That's why I had to shut him down in the chat room because I didn't want to come on air.
Well, look, Kai,
she
let me be mean on her program, and then she wanted to post it out and say, hey, Jerome's on here showing out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not payback. That would be a black on black crime. We don't do that here. All right.
No.
By the way, I want to remind you that you are listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us. Hey to everyone that's on the line. I see some familiar numbers there, so I don't want to call out nobody's name. Oh, by the way, if you do hit one and join the program, remember to keep your comments relevant, avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity. I will put your butt on mute. I know. See, when you get later
they
on in the day.
Make it hard today, say, Rome, though.
Well, I'm just saying.
Russell and David make it hard.
Except for us on the paddle. Like that kind of. It's just kind of a given. It's been one of those days. So you brought it in. Just one of those
mm-hmm.
days. Now, we're going to go straight to John Singleton. Now, here's his thing. Let me start off this way. He wrote an op-ed for the Hollywood Reporter. He was addressing the lack of black directors behind the helm of black films within the studio. Singleton said, the fact that a number of recent films that tell stories about real-life black people or that are based on our history, like films like Jackie Robinson and James Brown, as well as Django, you know, that was kind of loosely based off of an actual person, and The Help, they are increasingly being handed over to white writers and directors within Hollywood, their studio system. So he said, there's a cultural nuance and unspoken but deep-seated emotion that helps define the black American experience, the rhythm and cadence in which we carry ourselves among one another is totally alien to most non-blacks, even if it is constant fascination to them. He said it's still kind of hidden from them. He even went farther to say that some in the black film community think that Hollywood needs to pass a Rooney Rule like the NFL, which requires teams to interview minority candidates when they have a coaching opening. He said, but that will never fly because when you have a film that has more than so many black characters, you kind of need to relate to the black experience. But The Help, which made $170 million domestically, set a new paradigm for Hollywood, and Hollywood wants its black pictures uplifting, sentimental, and non-offensive. And he said that it's no one individual filmmaker's fault, but it does reflect the blatant racism that influences what gets made and what doesn't in the studio system. What do you think about that, Kai?
That was a lot.
Well, okay, for those who don't know, because I did run John Singleton's name out there, like everybody knew him, he was nominated for Best Director Oscar in 1992 with his feature Boys in the Hood. Singleton became the youngest person and the first African-American nominated in that category. So his subsequent films were Too Fast, Too Furious, Shaft, and Four Brothers. So he's been still working, but he's just saying there are cultural nuances to being black and don't act like they're not. So I commend him for his courage for speaking, because a lot of people are hating on him now for saying that.
Right. Well, if I understand him correctly, he's saying that, you know, like you said, there's cultural nuances to being black. But the question is, can a white director do a successful black film? Was that the question?
No, he's saying that they have. He said, he said, can they make great black movies? So when we talk about biopics, and I know we talked about this before, when you talk about biopics from real life experience, that's a little bit different than doing a black movie. Like Steven Spielberg did The Color Purple, right? Wasn't it Steven Spielberg? And you have all of these great examples of white directors doing black movies, and they did a great job, but they were based on books or stories, not biopics.
Okay. Right. I agree. I mean, and if anyone would know, John Singleton would know, right?
He's been doing this. Voice in the Hood.
I mean, he's been doing this a long time, and you're right. I mean, for someone to have the nerve and the audacity to say it, I mean, that's very admirable. But I agree. I don't think it was offensive what he said. I think he was right, you know, and he put it very nicely, so to speak. But I agree.
Now, I can tell you what he didn't put nicely. He said the black film community and consensus is that we're now entering a new Al Jolson movie era. we have a bunch of white folks. No, that may have not been politically correct, but he did say that at the end. Like,
I may be agreeing again.
may be true.
Yeah, I'm not totally disputing that. Television and movies, some of it is just becoming quite a disappointment.
Okay, yeah. Lavinia, we'll let you have in on this one. See, this gets to be a little calmer, right? I don't think so, guy. We just thought we'd say that. Woo, had to bring her in slow.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I mean, I agree with him. I mean, look what happened with the James Brown biopic that's supposed to be coming out.
Right.
He was supposed to have a black director, and they said, well, you know what, no. Because I really don't think, I'm trying to find the right way to put this. When it comes to the money, I don't think that they would trust a black director to create a movie in a way that everyone can understand it. The black audience would obviously understand it, but would a white audience be able to understand it? That's why movies like The Help was popular. It's a movie that white people could relate to, as opposed to, I don't know, Waiting to Exhale or something like that. I mean, just something, it's not something that they can relate to in the same way that we can. So I think he's absolutely on point with that. So I'm not mad at him at all.
He also said what Hollywood execs need to realize is that black-themed stories appeal to mainstream because they're uniquely American. Our story reminds audiences of the struggles and triumphs, dreams and aspirations we all share, and it is only by conveying the particulars of the African-American life that our narrative becomes universal. He said, but making black movies with real participants by black filmmakers is tantamount to cooking a pot of gumbo without the roux. And if you don't know offhand what roux is, you shouldn't be making black films. I love that quote.
Mm.
If you don't know what roux is, you know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you guys were watching CNN when Michael Jackson's funeral,
mm-hmm.
but the people covering Michael Jackson's funeral kept saying, they're going to something called a repass. We're trying to find that out.
Yeah.
We're going to check that
yeah.
out in the studio. And they were running. Seriously.
And why are people bringing meals to the house?
Like, they didn't understand. It's like, what is this repass? We're going to find
right.
out. We're going to get back. It took about 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, is yeah. somebody black sweeping up? Y'all got somebody
right.
black in there?
You know what? You know what the sad part in all that is it's like he said, we have the stories to tell. And our lives are so dynamic and so interesting. And our stories are so full of life. And people will come and see us out of curiosity, black, white, Asian, whether they want to admit it or not. People are interested in our life. What the disturbing part of that is, the way it's stolen from us, the way our history and our image, and, you know, our
right.
us, the culture of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What made me think of that is watching some movie. It was a dance movie. Came out a couple of years ago with the actor. Oh, I can't think of her name. But Step Up or something like that with Channing Tatum in it. Really?
Yeah.
And he was a dancer, a very good dancer. But really, are you really supposed to believe that him and his group really beat out the black dancers? Not
right.
that that's
what No. And I agree with you on this one because it's almost like saying, like I used to hear this before when people would say things like, Justin Timberlake is R&B. And I said, no, he can sing some R&B songs, but I am never fooled between a Ron Isley and a Justin Timberlake song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can mock something and it'll be cool
right.
for you, but that doesn't replace the genre. And I
it
think
doesn't.
That's what we, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not
Jimmy
sure
Jen.
If it's Tatum, if it's, what's his name, Tatum, he's cute. You know, he goes on the sexy madness. But I don't know if it was him or another movie like that, but I just remember thinking, you know, as I understand he's the headliner, but they could have made it more realistic if his team had lost. It still would have been a good movie.
Right,
it
because
he's
still in the ball game.
Movie. Right, because that's not...
But that wasn't helping the audience. It just shows that it was
right.
a movie for
right.
geared towards a specific audience, and black people really don't win in those
right.
movies anyway. It kind of helps the funding.
Yeah, on a dance that we created and we lost at it, I was like, okay,
yeah.
you lost the fan.
Hey, you know, it's like watching all of these rap artists now, too. It's like almost
yeah.
saying that you're not creating the thing that you created anymore.
Right.
Like, we got this
right.
now. Like, y'all did
right.
what y'all did, and we're going to go a little farther.
And
now,
no disrespect to Eminem, but Eminem really getting
no,
a bunch of awards?
Eminem is good, but the one thing I like about Eminem is Eminem always says, first of all, don't use the N-word, and secondly,
right.
it's just not his thing, right? So he
mm-hmm.
is authentically himself, and he talks about, you know, craziness, but that's pretty much what he does.
That's
right?
what he and that's what he knows. But for him
right.
to get all of the awards,
yeah. That now you're gonna have to talk to the Grammy folk about that. Yeah,
right.
yeah, the back end stuff starts to work on that.
Yeah.
All right, we left Lavinia out. Did we lose you, Lavinia?
Sorry,
on
Lavinia.
No, I'm still here. I was listening to what y'all were saying, and I'm with you. Like with Justin Timberlake, you know what? I respect his game, and
right.
he does. Mm-hmm. He's good at what he does, but he don't fool me because you can sing about how she thick in the thighs and a real dude want a woman with a big behind and all that other stuff. But we know who he goes to at the end of the day.
There you go.
You ain't fooling us.
As a black male, like Kai said about Russell Simmons, a black female kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
as a black male, I find that offensive. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. technically, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you can – black women are pretty. You know, you just got to give it up and just say,
beautiful.
Okay, yeah, I can
– dynamic.
Well, I was going to – there are a lot of things. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. in their greatness, they are that. But what I'm saying mm-hmm. is that you can appreciate another culture without acting right. like you're outside of your own. Like,
exactly.
so if I sang a song about Asian women, that
mm-hmm.
technically would be offensive if I was actually in Chinatown talking about how,
exactly.
how I'm like Asian women.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, they don't give you a pass and be like, look, that black dude really do appreciate our women like that. Like,
that's right. That'll get you killed.
Going to play off the same. But we can't see that because black folks are always so accepting. Like, we always right. overcompensate and say, hey, that's cool that he appreciate our women. As a guy, I'm saying, okay, you're appreciating them a little too close. That's just my thing.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
all right. Now, so here's some internet comments about the about John Singleton and his comments about the directors. He's one of the comments says, the idea that black writers and directors have to finance their own films is retarded. Now, someone, I have to tell you, one of the comments prior to this that I didn't say put in probably came from somebody who was non-minority, said that directors and writers need to finance their own projects. And you hear black folks say that as well, like we need to finance our own stuff. So this person is writing, the idea that black writers and directors have to finance their own films is retarded. Writers and directors are hired. Have you ever tried to raise $10 million? I bet not. Studios hire writers and directors so that they can fire them if needed. He said, if the person who suggests that we raise our own money knew the process, he or she would not have made the comment. And this guy has been in the business for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
the movie making
mm-hmm.
business, and he's black. Here's another one that says, brilliant, it is refreshing to read this from dear brother John Singleton, who is unapologetically black. Few have the courage of their convictions. He continues to be one of my heroes. And another one just says, when you have a studio deal and you're in the room with a bunch of folks who are doing everything that they can do not to make your film, hit me up. People have no idea what black writers and directors have to go through. The bigotry is unbelievable. They continue to raise the bar. That's why the article that John Singleton wrote is about reading the subtext. He says, they won't hire us to direct and write white stories. Now they won't hire us to do black ones. And this person said, ask the Directors Guild Association, the DGA and the WGA, which is the Writers Guild, if there has been any progress in the film industry since 1990 in terms of black directors and writers. And so I just wanted to say that because those guys have experience in the film business. They're saying he's absolutely right. From people on the outside, they're seeing these movies saying, how come white folks can't direct black movies? And it's like if they don't use black people to direct black movies anyway, black people would never work. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember years ago. I don't know if you guys remember years ago, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, or I think it was Terry Lewis mainly, who they were starting it was almost like a union in the music business because all of these music companies, the big music companies, were dropping their black music divisions because
mm-hmm.
they wanted to merge them into pop. And Terry Lewis said that if white folks could make black music, they wouldn't hire no more black people. And he said that about 10 years ago. So I think that is the main point of John Singleton. So there's no black-on-black crime here, but I just wanted to have that discussion. I do have a black-on-black crime I want to talk about in a second, but just wanted to talk about that. Now, John Singleton also continued, because there's this movie coming out that's called 12 Years a Slave. Did you guys hear about this movie?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Okay, 12 Years a Slave does not open up until October 18th. He said, I've seen it, and I can tell you that it's a work of art. McQueen, who is black from the UK, created a raw, unflinching look at a black man's descent from one of the darkest chapters in American history. It's as authentic as it gets, and there should be an Oscar nod for McQueen. Now, the screenwriter, who is John Ridley, and I think it's I can't think of the person's name.
Oh,
the lead who gives a performance of a lifetime. And they said Michael Fassbender plays one of the most compelling villains of the year And he said, it should be noted that 12 Years a Slave would not have seen the light of day if Brad Pitt, who produced the film and has a small but critical or crucial role in it, if they didn't jump in it. He said, there are very few stars as big-hearted as Pitt with interest of exploring challenging subjects, and Moore should definitely follow his bold example. Now, he gives praise for Brad Pitt, but Brad Pitt isn't directing this. Just like, you know, again, even in Django, I think Reginald Hudlin, one of the Hudlin brothers, was at least one of the producers on that. So he's just saying, check this out, and we can, I don't know how to put it, but he just kind of put it in a way to say, look, check out 12 Years a Slave. I read a story about this guy where the critics was going out of there, like they up and just walked out of the thing. They couldn't even watch it. It is that.
The critics?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they did a showing in Toronto last week. And so some of the critics and folks was, you know, just to tears. And they said right at the end of the movie, it was just dead silence. And then people just started clapping. That's
really?
12 Years a Slave was actually written by the guy who was put back in slavery for 12 years. He was free. Matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break and come back with more Black on Black Crime. But what we'll do is we'll take a break with just kind of a clip from 12 Years a Slave, and then we'll go into our next topic just to give a little preview. Because maybe you might have to review that for us, Kai. What do you think?
Okay. It works for me.
You know,
sounds
I can't
like
watch
plan.
Movies like that. You know I can't watch movies like that, right?
Yeah. I'm getting better at it.
You said you're getting better at it?
Yeah. Have to leave the anger outside.
All right, Lavinia. Oh, yeah. There you keep, leave the anger outside, girl. All right. We'll be back in a minute after this break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We're going to take a really quick listen to 12 Years a Slave. Again, just to set it up a little bit, 12 Years a Slave is a movie about a man who was out of slavery. He wasn't a slave. He lived in upstate New York, and he was tricked into going to New York City and then going to D.C., and he was sold into slavery. So we'll check this out. This is 12 Years a Slave. We'll be right back after this.
I want to ask you what part of the country you come from.
I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself.
Well, travel for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
I was born a free man. Lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped. Sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon Northup. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Went down to the River Jordan.
And that servant
that don't obey his lord
shall be beaten with many stripes.
That's scripture. The condition of your laborers, it's all wrong.
They're my property.
You say that with pride.
I say it as fact.
Snake!
Man does how he pleases with his property.
You come here.
I say come here!
Days ago, I was with my family in my home. Now you tell me all is lost.
If you want to survive, do and say as little as possible.
My soul arising.
Well, I don't want to survive.
For the year of enjoy.
I want to live.
Don't you know something?
I did as instructed. There's something wrong. It's wrong with the instruction.
Master brought you here to work. Any more, I'll earn you 100 lashes.
I know what it's like to be the object of Master's lashes.
No!
In his own time, good Lord, I'll manage them all.
I will survive! I will not fall into despair! I will keep myself hardy till freedom is opportune.
I'm not a slave.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving it the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and toasting. All hail the king. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Can we get busy?
Can we busy?
Can we do this?
Life brutal.
Take all this echo.
Come.
Give me some static.
You get it.
Hit me.
Hey, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. That was just a preview of 12 Years a Slave. It's coming out in October. Just thought I'd play a preview since John Singleton was talking about it. And we were talking a lot about it, but something that I probably won't see, but I hear it's a good movie. And Kai's probably going to see it, so we'll have to ask Kai.
Yeah, I got to take my picture for that one. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear, you know, from the stories I read about it, especially out of the foreign papers, it's bad. I mean, they think that it may even get banned out of the U.S. because it's going to bring up too much racial stuff for folks.
Oh, God. Wow.
Banning the truth. Nothing, that's something. Banning the truth. See, it's funny. Like, you know, when they had, and I always said, as long as something didn't happen here, then, and I'll just say America can watch it, talk about it, criticize it, pick it apart, and do everything. But the minute it's something that happened here, slavery in America, then all of a sudden we can't talk about it. We can talk about the Holocaust because that happened somewhere else. Somebody else did that to the Jews. America didn't do that. But when you talk about slavery in this country, it's like, oh, you can't say that. Oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, you know, we shouldn't discuss that because now you're going to bring up racial tensions. It's what happened here. Why can't we talk about it?
And it's insulting that you think that we haven't evolved since then, that we can't go to a movie without just tearing the place up. You know, it was the truth.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
know.
Yeah, even when they wrote the article, though, the one of them that I saw said that some are even suggesting that it can threaten to reignite racial tensions that are always seem to be simmering below the surface of American society. That was a description of it before it even got here. It's not even here yet.
Yeah, and they've already decided. Yeah.
Because
we all remember the great riots after Amistad came out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, worse than that. You can go back to Russell's friend, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly, who said, you know, it was a better time in slavery because everybody knew what their roles were. Like, that was a happy time for everybody across the board.
Gosh. Someone just...
yeah, they're about to show you.
In their butt. Jeez.
In one of the scenes, well, in two of the scenes, what happened is that when he got caught and brought back into slavery, and again, this book was published 160 years ago. 1853 is when he wrote it after he came back, obviously, right? Solomon Northrop is the guy who got put into slavery. And what happened is that he said when he was playing violin and then he was with two white guys in New York, they drugged him. He woke up in this room in D.C., in Washington someplace, and this guy comes out and says, I own you. And then they beat him until he stopped saying that he was I'm already free. And so they kept beating him until his skin took off, the first layer of his skin.
Oh,
and
God.
In the movie, one of the women who they described as beautiful, very athletic, she, and this is based on true story, this is his writing. Apparently, back then, people would pick, like, you know, 50, no, I want to say 100 bales of cotton or something, mm-hmm. she would pick like 500 a day. She was just really happy mm-hmm. person is how he described her. And he said one day she, 500 a day. She does five times as much as anybody else. Really pretty. Obviously, mm-hmm. slave master's wife didn't like her, right? Mm-hmm. And the master was having his way with her. But mm-hmm. she was missing. And she said, they had soap or something next door, and she went and got it. But he thought she escaped. And he was so angry with her that he stripped her and beat her so severely that it took off a couple of layers of her skin on her back. And his wife was sitting there smiling because he was happy that she was getting beat. Now, this is all in the movie, and this is why people are sick. Because they're like, we shouldn't be showing the fact that they got beat like that at somebody else's
wedding. But, I mean, when you think about it, how much different are some of those actual events than today? I mean, the names have been changed to protect the innocent or the guilty. But think about
right.
it. I mean, some of that same deception, some of those same behaviors they exist today, dragging people behind cars and beating them. Oh. And, you know, some people don't want to face their truth. That's why they don't want to bring the movie to the States.
Yeah.
Makes them take a look
at
their own behavior.
Oh, I know. And I know you were on the news show. You didn't come on this Thursday, but Lavinia was there mm-hmm. when we did the story about the parents in Connecticut who had a 12-year-old daughter who went on a nature walk, and they mm-hmm. reenacted on the third day of their nature walk a slavery reenactment. So they started calling the kids N-words and chasing them through the woods. And so now they're they're suing the school district.
Good.
They've been in a lawsuit with them since last year, and they have no comment. But the family did pull the girl from the district. This happened last year, yeah.
Wow.
So
I thought this was something that had happened recently.
No, well, it happened, and so, like, towards the end of the year, so the school district never made amends for it. Like, they never did anything. And so they had to complain in Hartford, Connecticut. It is the Hartford's they went to a recent Hartford school board meeting. So this is recent that they went to the school board meeting because they had to change schools.
And who approved this part of the curriculum is what I'm wondering.
They went to some nature, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it was, but they just, the Bakers, the family, filed a complaint with the State Department of Education and Human Rights Commission because the school district mm-hmm. didn't do anything. So the organization is at it's called the Nature's Classroom. So they took them out into the woods and had them at camps and stuff for 3 or 4 days. And so one of the days, they relived slavery.
I mean, you couldn't just talk about it, show a picture. Did you really have to subject your kids
you need to do that with 12-year-olds. They were in seventh grade.
What a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my dog has found a dog in the neighborhood. He wants to play. Sorry.
Oh, no. Lavinia, you were saying. Oh, go ahead, Kai.
I'm just wondering who approved that part of the curriculum. Russell Simmons and just not look at the video? Sorry, Russell.
All right, that's not a black on black crime.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. Now here is. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. You can dial in 909-265-9189. We already talked about our main topic, which was. Really, the John Singleton question, can a white director make a great black movie? David E. Talbot versus the black community. And one that I had on deck for you guys was the Chris Brown, because we never really talk about Chris Brown, because I try mm-hmm. not to talk about Chris Brown. So let me do this. Chris Brown, versus Sean Carter. So here's the thing. Actor-singer Chris Brown is claiming in a new Jet Magazine interview that hypocritical critics overlook Jay-Z's criminal past but continue to hold him to higher standards. He said, "No disrespect, because I'm a fan. Nobody brings up the fact that Jay-Z stabbed somebody and sold drugs, and he gets a pass." Now, personally, Lavinia, I'll let you go first. I think that's a black-on-black crime.
You know what? Wait a second. What was that again?
I was just saying that Chris Brown said in an interview with Jet Magazine, no disrespect because I'm a fan, but nobody brings up the fact that Jay-Z stabbed somebody and sold drugs and he gets a pass. But everybody perceives, you know, Chris Brown for stuff that he did in the past. But they let Jay-Z go.
But he's still doing it.
That's true.
It's not in the past. It was last week. Jay-Z still ain't out there doing stuff, acting crazy. Okay. Stop it.
No, Kai.
Stop trying to deflect. Clean yourself up. And don't
again.
You have to worry about it.
Was it a black on black crime? Yes.
Okay.
Was it?
Because you just had to throw somebody under the bus.
Yeah, he did throw him under the bus. But what part of that wasn't true? That Jay-Z did stab some folks and shoot at some folks and, you know, push the young girl down who wanted his autograph. And the difference is Jay-Z is, what, 45? Chris Brown is 20. So hopefully by the time
he's still doing it.
And hopefully by the time or way before he gets to be the age Jay-Z is now, he would have figured it out that he's got a – his approach isn't working. He's got
– Right.
He's got to take his meds. No, but, you know, he's still young. Not that that's excusable, but – He needs someone to kind of pull him in and say, Chris, look.
He's still young to bring that up. I mean, it would be like me saying going into politics. If somebody said, do you want to go into politics? And I can say something like, well, you know what? It is true that Newt Gingrich did leave his wife on her deathbed and, you know, Rudy Giuliani divorced his wife while he was actually in office.
Right.
Like, I can bring up everybody else's foulness.
How did he get to the Jay-Z comment in the first place? Was that in the context of the conversation, or he just was throwing some real...
No, he pulled it because he thinks... Yeah, well, he better be careful because he know that Jay-Z's kind of Rihanna, like he signed her.
Right.
And so,
that's what I'm wondering, Chris
Brown to begin with.
I'm wondering, is that why he said Jay-Z in particular because of the Rihanna incident? And, you know, Jay-Z exiled him.
I think he said Jay-Z because Jay-Z is a bigger, higher name. Like, because Jay-Z and Beyonce kind of, like, people have problems. Now, during the interview, Chris Brown also goes on to compare his perceived victimization to slavery and also revealing that he identifies with Trayvon Martin. Right? He says, now here's his quote. Yeah, this is Chris Brown. Here's this quote from Jet. I identify with Trayvon 100% as far as living in 2013 and still dealing with blatant racism. This generation is so used to racism that it's normal. We don't care. We aren't on drugs or catching AIDS, but they still look at us as the N-word. That's young. That's to your point, Kai. He was just throwing people out there because he was
I need Chris to call me because he
don't
needs someone
Kai.
Sitting next to him saying,
"Don't call her.
Don't answer that, Chris."
Oh,
Chris, call me,
please.
He needs an image consultant.
Okay, so we're definitely gonna go with professional help for Chris Brown.
I mean, you know, and he's so talented. That's the sad thing. He's such a talented person. He's got to pull back. Just, you know, take that 5-second pause before you answer a question. Just pause.
I don't think he has a filter. I don't think he has a filter. Lavinia, what are you thinking about Chris Brown? You want to help him out?
Help him out. I can't help him with that. Seriously, I don't have the PhD or the license and training to help him with that.
Oh, gosh.
He is straight out of comic books.
He definitely does.
He definitely does. Bottom line, he's got a lot of growing up to do. He does.
Yeah.
He's, He's got to go somewhere and sit and be quiet for a while and do some self-reflection and, you know, just.
I really want to get him help.
I need him to call me. We need to have a sit down.
She was like, we're going to sit down. He's going to need some oil.
Because
like,
he's
he needs
got
some
too
blessing,
many followers, and his people listening to that, you know.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Ayanna hasn't tried to get at him yet. Trying to fix his life.
Probably say he's not fixable.
I was going to say, don't get me started with Ayanna and fixing somebody's life. All right,
who's
going to
fix Ayanna's
life? Why not try it?
Yeah.
It works for
yeah,
him.
And you know what? Tell DMX to call me, too. We just...
Oh, God. Thank
we need
God.
To come to Jesus meeting. I'm
right.
trying not to give up on him.
Yeah, you know what? I have a lot of empathy for him, so I am not.
I do too. I watch his biography. I kid you not. I looked at DMX in a totally different light. I was like, wow, he's fighting some demons. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have to empathize with the people who are fighting
yeah.
that kind of stuff. Now
we can have
now,
some tea and some yoga, and DMX call
Chris,
me. We can talk.
Chris Brown need a butt whooping.
Like, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was too young. Like, he really needs somebody to just tell him to sit down or in
he need to be in the same corner with you-know-who and you-know-who. Put him in the corner, too.
See? She's being nice
face
a little
wall.
Bit. Okay. Okay.
And bring me the switch.
There you go. Now, here's in other entertainment news. I know I brought up Arsenio earlier. And Tia Tamara was on there, the two Maori twins. And
mm-hmm.
here is a little bit of their interview. I'll give you a few minutes of it. But if you're already on, you know, we are going to go over just a little bit. But if you want to call in 909-265-9189, here's Tia and Tamara on Arsenio. I just thought it was pretty
talk
humorous
about
to me. But...
Oh, you mean the JJ?
Yeah.
I hope.
it's basically like a little...
Facial
for your vajayjay. As I like to say, your hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're great.
It's yes.
And it works.
It
yeah.
works?
Yeah.
yeah.
It's very hot, but it works.
Yeah. It's like steamed
steamy.
With herbs.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting down with herbs down here.
Up your
and,
hoo-ha.
And steam is just coming out.
I love this show. Yes.
Love it.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Really? Husbands? Men? So this is good for men?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Well, not for you.
I mean, but,
no,
but
no.
we
oh.
will love it when our women.
Yes.
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 We'll just say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll keep it there.
Yeah.
I actually have. LK, you got a clip?
Oh, God.
What do you think about the V-steam?
I feel invigorated. I feel aware of my vagina.
I feel like I just grew a vagina.
Honestly,
I
have
gas.
To say.
You have gas.
You have gas
yeah.
because of the V-steam?
Mm-hmm. I feel like my vajayjay was a flower that was closed. Now it is open.
Okay.
You know I can hear you, right? Oh, damn! Open a window.
Okay, now that was Tia and Tamara. I just want to tell you for Arsenio's sake, they were just entertaining to me. I don't know about anybody else, but those two... are cute twins.
They still sound like the same little girls.
They sure do. Right? And
very comfortable with their vajayjays.
And you know, I thought about when I was playing the clip, they're both married and they both have
mm-hmm.
children now.
Children.
And and they're 35 years old.
Are they?
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know they were that old.
Now, and here's how comfortable they are about this. Now, Tamara tells a story about losing her virginity at 29 in a magazine. She was in Style magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she said then she didn't have sex again. She became celibate and didn't have sex again until
mm-hmm.
she got married. But for somebody who stayed celibate until they're 29, to be talking about that on Arsenio like that just is liberating to some folks.
It's got to
now,
be.
I'm a little shy. I won't do any kind of talking about any kind of sex stuff. It's just not what I do.
Right.
But it's mm-hmm. interesting that those guys are just, like, free. Well, I'm happy for them. feel free.
And they're happy for themselves.
I am happy for you girls who feel all of that.
Wow. I was a tad bit uncomfortable for a minute, but...
Yeah, you know, and the reason I played it is not because I was uncomfortable, because when I watched it, they were laughing so much. It was like
yeah.
kind of a clip of Arsenio inserting himself into the car. So it was on their reality show on
right.
Lifetime, so or on the Style Network. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But they are on there, and they're just talking about, like, it's flipped. Like, they just talk, and I'm thinking, why am I uncomfortable with them talking
yeah.
like that?
And if you don't see them, you think they sound like two teenage girls talking about it.
They sure do. They just
yeah.
sure do. We're talking about two 35-year-olds. So
here's the
clip. It was like, why do we all feel so uncomfortable about that? But I know I did. So I wouldn't have played it with guys on there because then, you know, I'm not going to say no names because I've been
a
black girl, black girl. But, yeah, they'd be talking all kind of noise. It, by the way, in the world of entertainment, by the way, Lifetime has decided to greenlight Gabby Douglas's biopic. So there, I don't know who Imani Hakim and Sydney Michaela is, but they'll be portraying Douglas in her early years and her teen years, with Regina King and S. Epiphany Merkelson playing Gabby Douglas's mm-hmm. mother and grandmother, respectively. So Gabby Douglas, who is now 17, is preparing for the 2016 Olympics in Rio
de Janeiro.
Awesome.
Some
good
news.
I'm so proud of
this Monday.
I was going to say, I'm so proud of that child. Excuse my... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so does that mean Angela Bassett wasn't available for the role? Every famous black
I'm gonna throw a flag on you on my head. Now, hey, there will be no Angela Bassett hating on here and on that.
No, I love Angela Bassett. I'm just saying, like, it seems like she's played everybody, so why not play it in Olympic gymnast? Who cares if there's like 30, 40 years difference?
You know, with
picture her flipping on the high beams. Oh, God.
No. Yeah. You see, since Vanessa is in today, she is getting the outro music on that one. That is
what?
Wrong. Nah, I'm just joking.
I mean, she played Tina.
But,
she played, Betty Shabazz. She played Coretta Scott King. She played Michael Jackson's mama. She played Biggie's mama.
Oh, my God. Wow,
and,
I never realized
I bet,
that.
And I bet you she would play all of our mamas if we were
actually. She play them all in the same movie.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, she's going to play them all in the same movie. She's playing your neighbor's mama and my
but
mama's
look,
mama.
And she still has yet to play any role
look.
As good as Bernadine from Wait and Exhale. When she set that car on fire, she became my hero.
I couldn't go to sleep at night until I saw that part. Oh, wow. Until she burned the car up.
Yeah, and went there. It's the main part of the movie.
That car on fire and walked away with that
and
cigarette.
And walked away
like,
and flipped that cigarette.
Yes, she
what?
Did. Ma'am,
oh my
did
God,
you know what
came
the movie was about? Trash. What did you say? It is trash.
It is trash.
I am losing control.
Look, talking about black people relating to a movie. Yeah, that's our
signature
role.
And I'm sorry. And that was Forrest Whitaker directing. That was not a white man directing that one. Because the attitude would have been all gone.
Oh, kudos to Forrest.
Yeah, because that
small scene spoke a million words.
Hey, Wesley Snipes would have had his West. He would have had his mistress and been cool. But no. Y'all had to get Forrest Whitaker to direct. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
Oscar goes to... I just wanted to share. All right. I want to thank everyone for joining Black All Black Crime with Lavinia and Kai. It has been
hey.
A great day. Hey, we will see you again next week on Black Crime. Who knows what we're going to talk about, but I think... it's probably going to be a movie with Angela Bassett. I'm guessing. That's just my thought.
Well, Morris Chestnut better be in it.
Oh, God, no. Jeez. All right, we'll see you again next week. Later, people.
Bye.
Peace out.